When unemployed white-collar Americans spend months or years unsuccessfully job hunting, who do they blame? Often they blame themselves, asking, "What's wrong with me?" and sinking into a morass of discouragement. Self-blame isn't inevitable. Ofer Sharon writes about this in his new book, Flawed System, Flawed Self, Job Searching and Unemployment Experiences. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Ofer Sharon, who teaches at MIT's Sloan School for Management, where he is assistant professor of work and employment relations, to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Glad to be here.
What brought you to this subject of looking at these flawed systems and how it ultimately relates to us?
In the mid-2000s, I was doing research in Silicon Valley and hearing from, particularly at the start, tech workers in the post-dot-com bubble years about their job loss, which was a very common phenomenon, and their job search experiences. And what struck me was the narrative that people often offered, which was that they lost their job because of economic circumstances. They recognized external forces, such as the bubble bursting, leading to their job loss. But when it turned to finding a new job, it became about themselves. It was, there's something about me that I'm not able to find a new job. And I noticed my colleagues in Israel looking for very similar jobs, experiencing the same bursting of the bubble, didn't shift to that individualizing narrative. They instead understood that there were structural or systemic problems with why they were not getting back to work. And so I became deeply interested in what is it about the way we look for work and the American experience that leads to this kind of self-blame.
And there are differences between white-collar and blue-collar, but those differences seem to be global, it seems.
So the differences ultimately track it to the way hiring works. And this cuts across class and across countries. This is the main finding of my research and in my book. So in both the Israeli white-collar case and in the American blue-collar case, we have very rigid hiring systems that make it very clear to the job seeker why they're being excluded from the labor market. So you have things like tests or very onerous and specific requirements and for credentials and prior experiences. In some cases, you have drug tests or credit checks in the case of blue-collar American job market, which makes it clear why people are not getting a job. It doesn't make unemployment any happier. It tends to generate actually a lot of anger. But it avoids the white-collar phenomenon in the United States of blaming yourself. And in the white-collar American case, what we have is a much less transparent system of hiring. The reasons one doesn't get hired are more obscure because the way hiring works relies centrally on networking, your ability to develop relationships and rapport with others who then will hopefully refer you to hiring managers. And then at interviews with hiring managers, there's a lot of emphasis on your ability to create chemistry, to show that you're the right kind of person for the job in terms of your who you are as a person, your fit, much more than simply your skills. And given this emphasis in the hiring system that is specific to the white-collar American case, being rejected from jobs, having 6 months of unemployment or longer, makes job seekers very vulnerable to feeling that it's about them. The personalized hiring system leads to a personalized understanding of the rejections, and this is devastating to people's sense of self. It accompanies what is already a very difficult financial crisis. And,
You do address this in the book, that in many ways blue-collar job seekers have a worse time of it than their white-collar counterparts. And picking up on what you were just talking about, give us a sense of how these, of the people, of the blue-collar people that you interviewed, regard these long-term sessions of unemployment.
Yeah, so in the blue-collar world that I studied, people were experiencing a system of hiring that they felt was really not looking at who they are and what they're able to bring to the table, and most importantly, their strong work ethic and their commitment to work, which is something they know the employers care about. But yet what has happened over the past 10, 20 years is that, as opposed to the traditional way blue-collar jobs were obtained, where you can walk up to the factory door or to the place of business and talk about your interest in the job with a hiring manager, now there's an online mediator as a first step. This is applications are done online, and they require as a threshold matter, as typically a list of credentials that many blue-collar job seekers feel are automatically excluding them from consideration. So there is tremendous frustration. In some cases, there's also the barrier of using the technology itself. So this is something that gets talked about as the digital divide or digital inequality. But even for people who are able and have the facility to use the computers, there's still a new filter being applied to jobs that were traditionally open to people who were responsible, willing to work hard, and had a good track record of working. Now there is, because of the online screening, much more emphasis on credentialing for all kinds of jobs, and it creates real barriers.
One of the things that is universal in both countries, you make the point in the book, is that the job seekers get discouraged, and when they are unsuccessful, they're not sure of where they go.
So discouragement, it happens everywhere. It's when you spend 6 months or more trying to find a job, inevitably, to some extent, you become less optimistic about your prospects. But there are really important differences in how intense this discouragement is and how it plays out. So in the American white-collar case, where there is this widespread self-blame that I described, where people start to question, is there something wrong with me that I'm not getting a job? That leads to a very particularly intense discouragement, where continuing to look for work appears pointless, because if the problem is with me, there's really nothing that can change, right? So even an improving labor market or even trying to find a different kind of job doesn't really seem to make sense if you think that the problem is something with you. And in addition, in the American white-collar context, since rejections are so personalized given the hiring system, each additional attempt to find work that doesn't work out feels like salt on an open wound. This is how many people described it to me. So the discouragement here is particularly intense, and I think that there's a real need for support structures to deal with this particular vulnerability to self-blame that the white-collar job seekers have. And this is, unfortunately, not one of the strong points of our current support system. So we have a lot of good advice about how to play the game of job searching, how to network and write the right kind of resume, but we leave job seekers completely ill-equipped to deal with the months and months of rejections that they will typically face. Instead, we tell them they're in control, that if they only take the right job search steps, they will be able to get whatever job they pursue. And this, you know, is meant to inspire and make people feel empowered, but it backfires. After a few months of unsuccessful job searching, the message that you're in control really points to you as the problem and only exacerbates self-blame. So I think we need a different approach to how we support job seekers, one that helps people develop what in sociology we'd call a sociological imagination, an understanding of the structural and external barriers that are part of the problem, so that difficulties in the labor market are not only perceived as something about you.
I thought it was fascinating because in the book you talk about, yes, there obviously it's so much about you're selling yourself, and if they don't buy you, then you feel flawed. But there is also, you say, that self-blame is also the result from the experience of how you do your job search.
Exactly. So the job search in the white-collar context requires you to put yourself out there in a very vulnerable way. It's not enough to simply send a resume that lists your prior experiences and credentials. You need to put out there who you are, the person behind the skills, and this comes out in the way you craft a cover letter that is customized to the company you're targeting, that really explains why you would be a good fit. It's even more intense at networking situations where you're really trying to communicate in person why you're the kind of person that would be a good match for this company. And, of course, the climax is at interviews, that these become like high-stakes first dates, where it's all about trying to create a connection. And this is how job seekers have to job search. This is the system of hiring in which white-collar job seekers find themselves, and they have to play this chemistry game, as I call it, in order to have a chance to get a job. But playing this game also makes them very vulnerable to the kind of self-blame and feeling like something is wrong with you personally that I described. So there's a tight link between how people have to look for work and then how they experience difficulties in finding work. And this is where I think we need to look at the kind of support that's provided. I'm not that optimistic that we can change the hiring system in the United States anytime soon, though I would be for making major changes. But I do think there's a lot of hope about changing the support that is provided, and this is actually my new work, and I have great news to report that there are about 50 or 60 actually career coaches and counselors in the Boston area who have been mobilized to say we will provide support for free to long-term unemployed job seekers, and we will let you collaboratively study with us what seems to work the best in order to support these job seekers, both in terms of strategy, but equally importantly, in terms of well-being, maintaining a sense of self, diminishing this kind of self-blame that people are so vulnerable to who are in this position. So I'm hoping we can make a change in terms of the support that's provided.
Ofer Sharon teaches at MIT's Sloan School of Management, where he is assistant professor of work and employment relations. His new book is Flawed System, Flawed Self, Job Searching, and Unemployment Experiences. It is published by the University of Chicago Press. Ofer Sharon, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you, Joe. Thank
Great you pleasure.
Having.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Flawed System, Flawed Self. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.